Well, tonight we're going to look at go-to verses. Last week I shared about having go-to verses. And what do I mean by that? As we live our life, situations come up. And either personally or with people that we're working with, ministering to. And so when things come up, we can go to God's Word and use the Word of life, the powerful Word of God that God magnified above all His name, and plug that into the situation. And so it's nice that as we study God's Word, we renew our mind to the Word of God and who we are in Christ, and that we retemorize, we remember verses that touch our heart that we can use not only to help ourselves in whatever situation we're confronted with, but other people as we're dealing with them. So I'm looking forward tonight hearing from different folks here and on the conference call line as far as sharing some go-to verses. And hopefully there's a bunch of you that want to do this. We got to keep it brief, the verse and a little story behind it, a testimony or why that is significant to you. So I know a couple people have already communicated to me that they have some things they're going to share. So I'm going to call on them first, and then I'll open it up. And you folks on the conference call line will need to come off of mute to communicate and say, "Hey, Bob, I've got a verse. Okay. But first, Kimberly, Six Killer, I'm going to take you off of mute and have you share if you would, Kimberly.
Thank you for the opportunity to share. I picked Psalm 23:6 from the New American Standard Bible for my verse. It says, "Certainly goodness and faithfulness will follow me all the days of my life, and my dwelling will be in the house of the Lord forever." And I feel like it's really important to reflect on what He's done all the days of our lives and how His goodness and faithfulness has followed us. So I want to share about after being a local missionary in Minnesota, he led me to work with a chiropractor, and she sent me to chiropractic school to become a chiropractic assistant. I marketed her new business and networked in the local community for her, and I witnessed to her and her husband, who are dear friends to this day. From there, I ended up in Texas and became the executive assistant to the general manager in an aerospace engineering firm. He was a Purdue graduate, and he saw that I had a degree in theology from Rome City, Indiana. So he knew that he could trust me, and he passed over people who had bachelor's degrees in order to hire me. So I moved up to Kansas City, and I marketed another brand new business until the market crashed. And then I went to work at a local hospital to get insurance and benefits. The director hired me because of my background marketing chiropractic and real estate, and they were having difficulty matching in family medicine residency and getting doctors into family medicine. So that role turned into a career for me, and I managed to stay there for 10 years and endured a very difficult manager. Over 15 years while going through family difficulties, I became a subject matter expert in physician recruitment and finished a degree in healthcare management, and this weekend I turn in my final paper for my master's. And throughout this time, I decided to turn down several jobs. I turned down an executive assistant role to the president of an osteopathic medical school. I turned down KU Medical, had an integrative medicine department, which I was really passionate about, but I just didn't feel right about taking it. And later, I found out that that department closed down. Then later, a graduate medical education consulting firm called me and told me to name my salary, but I turned that one down. And then a recruiter at a children's hospital was interested in me recently last year for a program manager role in Memphis, Tennessee, at the same time while I was negotiating my current role. But I love to see how God works in your lives. He led me to employers, to increases and promotions, and my salary more than doubled over several years. And a healthcare organization in Kansas City recruited me to help them start residency programs in several hospitals in internal medicine and surgery. So it was really great to see how each position built on the last one and how God was leading me the entire way. I only lasted 10 months in that role. It was really difficult, but my dream job opened up at the American Academy of Family Physicians, and there I managed their consulting services and 18 family medicine physicians. So I was able to help change their compensation structure and double their revenue during the pandemic. It was I was promoted actually to a role there which did not align with my values, so I returned to graduate medical education. And out of over 60 classes that I had through my education, there was only one instructor that I stayed in touch with, and I followed his career on LinkedIn. So he had a job posting for me at the University of Missouri, Kansas City School of Medicine, and he elevated that job in order to get me to come over to work for him. He promised me, when he was interviewing with me, a salary increase the next year, which is coming this September, and a promotion next year in 2024 to director. He recently reported to the Accreditation Council on Graduate Medical Education that they were very lucky to have me, and we are working right now on family medicine residency expansion in two different hospitals and a federally qualified health center in the Kansas City area. Last Saturday, I taught women's fellowship, and a family medicine doctor emailed me that she enjoyed my teaching and she wants to participate in a symposium that came out of my master's that I'm planning for women physicians in the spring of 2024. So there's women physicians score higher on stress and lower on well-being than all male physicians across the country. So we are trying to help them with that in our area. So we want to step out in faith and follow his direction and leading, even if it means turning down things that look really good. But he knows what's best for us, and his goodness and faithfulness will continue to follow us all our days. So thank you.
Yeah, wow. God's really worked with you. Thank you very much, Kimberly. Okay, I know Mike Leslie wanted to share. So, Mike, let me get you unmuted.
Thank you, Bob and Jeannie. Had quite the year myself, and Bob and all you guys have been praying for me. I really, really am very blessed and thankful for that. We are, I am doing much better, and I'm not completely there yet, but in God's book, I probably am. And we feel like we have seen God actually work in this whole situation. And the doctor on Monday was very elated. He didn't want to do the cartwheels in the room, but he was that close. And he was very blessed at my progress and everything. I have a go-to verse, but in this situation here, I went to the go-to source, God, and asked him for a verse. And I shared this verse with Bob and Jeannie about a month ago or so, and it's in Isaiah 57:19. And I'm reading out of the New King James Version. It says, "I create the fruit of thy lips, peace, peace to him who is afar off and to him who is near, says the Lord. I will heal him." And as I got into this verse, to create the fruit of the lips, I was telling Bob that while I was going in the hospital going through all this stuff, I felt like I was rivaling Paul on speaking in tongues. And when I thought about it, every time we are speaking in tongues, that is the created fruit coming off of our lips from God. And it just was just an amazing verse. It just lit up to me, and it kept me and sustained me through the whole situation, the ugly parts. The other part of this verse is peace, peace. It's a double peace. And I know that in Isaiah 26:3, it says that thou will keep him in perfect peace. That is also a double peace. The word perfect is peace, peace. And peace is the Hebrew word shalom. And shalom in the whole package of what shalom means is it doesn't just mean peace. It means prosperity, means wholeness and health and rejuvenation and prosperity all in one word. And I thought, well, this is pretty cool. It's a double here. And when God doubles something in a word, that's something to pay attention to. That means it's established. I actually put a whole teaching together on doubles in the word out of 2 Corinthians. And I might like to share that sometime. But the other part of this is that God said, I will heal him. And that's what God has done for me. And I just want to thank you all for the opportunity to share.
All right.
Beautiful.
Great. All right. Anybody else on the conference line, if you want to share a go-to verse, you could. If you would come off, mute yourselves with star 6, I believe, for most of you or some of you.
I'll share, you guys, since I just left. But I'll share. I'll share.
Daniel Woods, okay.
Yes, yes, sir. Hey, guys. Well, you kind of shared on it last week, but I think that's okay. My go-to verse is Hebrews 4:12, because when, especially working in industries like education and entertainment, that kind of stuff is trying to constantly tear me down and suck me in to what they believe is the correct foundation to live life. Guess what? My foundation always goes back to the Word of God. And Hebrews 4:12 says that the Word of God is quick, alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And we know that the purpose of the Word is so that the man of God may be fully furnished to all good works.
Yeah.
So when the world is trying to suck me into its ideologies and all that junk, I remind myself that the Word of God is much more powerful than any of that stuff combined. So, yeah, that's Hebrews 4:12.
Great. Yeah, that's a great verse, too. Good one. Okay, anybody else on the conference line?
Yeah,
Okay. I've got Al, and then who else?
Claudia.
Claudia, why don't you go first, and then Al, okay?
All righty. So many moons ago, I got into God's Word, and of course I took a little class called Power for Abundant Living. And after which all of that was completed, I actually started to reading the Bible. And I got to a verse in 2 Corinthians 5:17. And God says there, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Mm.
Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I've had my share of challenges in life. I continue to have them lately of a different kind, most definitely lately, more of the physical sense rather than maybe spiritual. But as it was said earlier during this this fellowship, it is easy to get excited and sing praises and whatnot, but we do know what kind of believers we are when we do have challenges. Mm-hmm. And that that verse is something that has sustained me for many years, spiritually speaking, and then also lately applicable to my situation as of lately. Needless to say, sometimes it certainly takes me a beat to have a sane thought, and of course, as sane thoughts are God's thoughts, but it's such an awesome verse to hold on to, because all things are passed away. Yesterday, the sickness, the pain, whatever it may be, is gone. Tomorrow is a new day. Every day is a new way, a new day with God, and certainly a new day, an opportunity to claim and to believe His wonderful promises and to bask in His love. So that's what I wanted to share.
Oh, good. Very good. Thank you, Claudia. And Al?
Yes. The verse I wanted to share was something that before I really realized what a son and God involved, I would have never went to this verse because I took care of things in my own way. But ever since that day came and I was, when I got born again, this verse has definitely been one that I go to, and I have to still go to it, and I always will go to it. Especially when you've got a job and you're around a lot of people with different ideas and different ways of dealing with life. And so I find myself wanting to resort to the old man or the five senses nature and try and resolve the situation with my wisdom. But I know that God's wisdom is what we need to hang on to and where we need to turn to. And so instead of getting caught up in a rat race or in a dispute or an ongoing argument and what have you, I just take a deep breath, speak in tongues, and tell the Father, I know your words, and I will always go to this verse in times like this. And so this particular verse is in Proverbs chapter 20, and it's verse 22. I'm going to read it out of the NLT because it brings a little more clarity to this verse. It's very simple, but it's to the point. And it reads like this. Don't say, I will get even for this wrong. Wait for the Lord to handle the matter. And that's what we have to do. When we find ourselves figuring out, how do I get back or how do I one-up this person, that's not the way a son of God should conduct their lives. And so, like I said, I take a deep breath, speak in tongues. If I have all these crazy thoughts, I ask for forgiveness. But this is a verse that reminds me that God says He'll handle the matter. He will handle the matter. And more times than not that I'm waiting to see what it's going to be, further on down the road, that's exactly what the Father has done. He's taken care of the situation so that I don't have any ruffled feathers and I can go about my business. Praise God.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Al. Anybody here? Kathy? Kathy Roth's going to share. She's here with us. Okay. Go ahead.
Over the last several years, it's been a real challenge. We all kind of have talked about health issues and things that kind of hold you down. And I remember, I think it was the last time we were able to go to Tucson, which I think it was 2019, or fall 2019. I remember Sal playing a song called Seasons Change. And it was really, for a lot of us, it was like, wow, okay, you know, our seasons do change. There's things that we did when we were younger. There's things that I used to do. You know, I could do this, I could do that, and I had the strength to do this. You know, there was a lot of things I did in the fellowship, you know, ran fellowship for several years, you know, did children fellowship, taught, you know, just, you know, help with set up, you know, just a lot of things, take pictures, you know, just moving around. But the last several years, this has been more of a challenge to be doing that. So you go through a period of time where you feel that you're not worthy anymore. Well, not worthy, but you're not you're not able to jump in and serve. And, you know, that's been something that all of us, it's implanted in our hearts to serve. And so to not be able to serve, you just kind of go, you start feeling sorry for yourself, which I did. And it's just a really hard time when you realize that, okay, God, you have to show me now what I need to do. And so I did join a women's group on Thursday morning. They're from the City Heights Rock Church. And a lot of them are very young. There's maybe another lady in there that's maybe 10 years younger than me. But most of them are young wives, you know, single and stuff. And when I start going to them, this verse sort of became my go-to verse, because I realized that I still have many, many things to do, and God knows that. So Psalm 71:18, and it's kind of funny, but it's so good. Now that I am old and gray, do not abandon me, O God. Let me proclaim your power to this new generation, your mighty miracles to all who come after me. And that has just really been a lifesaver, because my experience with these wonderful women have been, I have been able to share things with them that they did not know. And I also learned how to answer them without sounding like, you guys are all wrong, or make them feel bad about what they believe in. And I realized that I was able to share with them. I would always start out, well, this is what I learned, and I would share it with them, and they were like, oh my gosh, you know. And some of them came back and told me, I never heard it that way, thank you. And I also was able, the things that they were sharing, I would go, okay, I don't understand that. So I went back to the Word, you know, do a word study. So I was talking to this lady she's been this amazing person who has helped me calm down and stuff. And I thanked her for ministering to me. I was came there one morning, and I was just kind of upset. My body was just doing crazy things. I just felt like, you know, I can't get around anymore. It's just getting so frustrating. It was hot, and I was sweating, and it was like I was just in a very lousy mood. And sitting there with all these beautiful women, you know. And she said, can I just put my hand on your back? Okay. Yeah. I'm like, okay, what's she going to do? But it was amazing, because whatever she did, and she probably just prayed for me, and she didn't say anything to me. She did say, did you feel that? And I kind of stopped. Did you feel the Holy Spirit working within you? Yeah. She said, he got rid of all that junk you were holding for today. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So when I was thanking her, she said, so how do you learn all this stuff that you've been talking about? I go, you do a word study. And she just went, what? You do a word study, you get a concordance, and you it's like a dictionary, and you look up the Hebrew, you look up the Greek, and you see that they all were, English word has different definitions, and it just helps you to understand how the word interprets itself. And she was like totally clueless about that, you know. And so I just have been learning that this whole thing about us proclaiming things to the new generation, and that's really what God intends for us to do as we get older, because there are just certain things I can't do anymore, but I can do that, you know, and I can help people, or I can talk to them about things. And this next verse was a kick. I mean, sometimes God just, it's just so funny and loving. It's Proverbs 20:29. And this, I can't remember what version this is, but the glory of the young is their strength. The gray hair of experience is the splendor of the old. I see that, and I have to smile and laugh and stuff and realize that even as we get older, we have a purpose, you know, and God shows that to it. It might not be up front. It might be just in the back, but it's to help the younger women and men to be who we should be in God's word, you know, because sometimes we get so caught up and so poor me or so, and it's been a really humble experience for me because I've never been the one that's been asking people for help. Usually I'm the one helping them, so asking someone to go get something for me or help me up getting into the house or, you know, help me with my car, you know, it's kind of just this humbling experience that you just, you know, you get your call and you cry because you go, God, what's, you know, and he just tells me to be calm and everything. So that's why to go first. This last one makes me laugh and smile, so that's where you can learn.
All right. Well, I'm going to take one more. Is there anybody here? Oh, I better call on this next person. She's my wife. Jeannie.
Well, I was ministering to a believer this morning. We were texting, and she mentioned she was worried about something. And so the verse that came to mind was Philippians 4:6. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. This is the NLT. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. It was actually two verses. But don't worry about anything. So, you know, we know that in King James it's be anxious about anything. Not anxious about anything, but in everything. In everything, pray.
Yeah.
And when I was growing up, my motto was, don't worry, be happy. Because I would worry for everyone. Then I realized, after I saw God's word, that I didn't have to worry because God takes care of us. And he's given us everything that we need. And prayer is just the best thing. So it was a blessing to be able to share that this morning and be reminded that our lives have changed because of who we are and that we're really, really loved and liked by our Father.
Yeah. Good. Well, yeah, some great go-to verses. So I trust you all have various scriptures that really are meaningful for you personally and that you feel you can trust God in. So, yeah, we want to continue to grow with him and function with him. And God's going to have some great things for all of us to do. And so we want to be ready spiritually. We've got the resource within, right? Spirit of God. And then we've got the resource of God's word. And that's why we retemorize or remember different verses so that we can go to those in any situation and minister and serve. So thanks for sharing those.
Thank you.